He persuaded Southey to see Pasley's policy not in terms of conquest, but of emancipation, Britain using her power and technology to promote independent constitutional governments all over the world, a far more humane as well as practical idea, soon to be pursued with great success by such prime ministers as Canning and Palmerston. But in the meantime Britain was at war, and some of the pigtails, as the brass hats were called in those days, were even more bloodthirsty than Southey. Admiral Lord Cochrane, 1775 to 1860, who had inherited an impoverished Scots title and made a name for himself as one of the most dashing and resourceful frigate captains, put forward to the Prince Regent in March 1812 a comprehensive plan to bring the war to a rapid conclusion by devoting immense resources to high-technology firepower. France was to be reduced by saturation bombardment of rockets, including poison gas warheads. The government appointed a secret committee to examine his proposals, which were shelved. A policy of frightfulness was nonetheless an option for the British in pursuing the war against America. But the only instrument with which it could in practice be pursued was the Royal Navy, and as Cochrane had good cause to know, the Navy was an imperfect instrument. The ships were sound, for the most part, albeit the hard-worked frigates tended to be small and were under-gunned by American standards. A much graver source of anxiety was the quality of the officers and the loyalty of the men. In theory, the senior service was run on merit, but in reality everything which affected its commissioned officers was determined by influence, interest, as it was called. This was a point Jane Austen illustrated again and again, especially in Mansfield Park, 1814, where the anti-hero, Henry Crawford, in an unavailing attempt to ingratiate himself with the heroine, Fanny Price, uses his powerful connections in the Admiral.